News Service Daily Newscast for October the 14th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Health professionals concerned about the overlap now this winter of flu season and the COVID-19 pandemic. They're asking people to prepare themselves. More from our Eric Teganoff.
Raj Sundar, a family medicine physician for Kaiser Permanente in Burien, says the colder weather will make it especially tricky for avoiding coronavirus and the flu as activities move inside. He says there's also concern about how the viruses will interact with each other.
There are a lot of complications that can happen if you not only get the flu and the coronavirus or COVID-19 at the same time, but we know if you experience the flu that you're prone to complications if you subsequently contract COVID-19.
While there's not yet a vaccine for COVID-19, Sundar points out that a vaccine is available for the seasonal flu. He advises people to contact their doctors about getting a flu shot and says folks can find locations for those vaccinations online at getmyflushot.org.
People of color have historically faced disproportionate effects for the flu, so prevention in those communities is especially important. The doc does say flu activity in the southern hemisphere has been lower than usual, which could be a good sign for the U.S. as winter approaches in this hemisphere. The U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday granted a request from the Trump administration to halt the census count while an appeal plays out over a lower court's order that it continue. That from CNN. They report the administration had asked the high court for immediate relief because a lower court order would have required the census count to continue until October the 31st. The Trump administration argued that would have prevented the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross from delivering a count of the nation's population to President Trump by December 31. There's a lot at stake in next month's election, and Texas faith groups are making a push to get voters to the polls by urging them to make a plan to vote.
B. Moorhead with Texas Impact believes the group's social media campaign will reach people of faith because congregations have become adept at attending worship services and other events virtually. She wants Texas voters to understand their options, whether that's in person or mail-in voting.
When we say make a plan to vote, we mean, like, consider your options and make a plan, not just, I'm totally planning to vote this year.
The group's social media campaign points viewers to the Texas Impact website to find a flowchart for voting at texasimpact.org. Earlier this week, a U.S. Federal Appeals Court panel upheld Governor Greg Abbott's order to eliminate dozens of ballot drop-off sites just weeks before the election. The ruling reverses a federal judge's decision last week that halted the order, which means only one absentee ballot drop-off location is allowed for every Texas county, regardless of its size. For Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
This is PNS. Lawmakers in Alabama have been unsympathetic to the economic struggles of some of the state's poorest communities during the pandemic.
According to an investigation by the Washington Spectator, the state opted to make communities pay up front for the products and services needed to combat COVID-19 and get reimbursed later. But many places in the Black Belt, an agricultural region across the center of Alabama, don't have the liquid assets to do that, according to Felicia Lucky, president of the Black Belt Community Foundation. The region also has 8 of the 9 Alabama counties hit hardest by the coronavirus.
Selma, particularly one of the richest cities in the United States at a certain period of time, it is now anything but that. And many of the counties that we're serving all pretty much look alike. They are economically distressed, but they are really culturally rich.
This story was produced with original reporting from Barbara Coppell for the Washington Spectator. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
During historically divisive times, one Missouri city could be moving toward a nonpartisan way of electing its leaders.
St. Louis voters will decide on Proposition D on the November 3rd ballot. It would create a nonpartisan primary system and implement what's known as approval voting in municipal elections. Mallory Rush with STL Approves, the group backing the measure, explains that approval voting allows voters to choose all the candidates they like instead of just one, and the top two candidates advance.
Our current system really cuts voters off at the knees. You get to vote one time in a crowded Democratic primary race, and whoever wins that race, even if it's only with 25% of the vote, that person is going to represent you.
The African-American Aldermanic Caucus opposes the measure, predicting in a statement that Prop D would be the end of the Democratic Party in St. Louis and would, quote, obscure true debates and issue-driven dialogue among candidates. Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Mike Moen tells us this week North Dakota farmers getting something they've been waiting for years, an intermodal rail service.
Governor Doug Burgum recently announced Minot will receive the train unit, which can help to move shipping containers internationally. While agriculture won't be the only industry using it, North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney says his members will benefit greatly from the service. He says they finally have an in-state option to distribute their products meant for international markets.
A lot of times we ship them all the way down to Minneapolis on a truck to be put back on the train to go to the West Coast to be shipped out.
The North Dakota Department of Commerce estimates the new service will reduce farmer shipping costs by 15% to 25%.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported on great radio stations across America and online at publicnewsservice.org.